Thank you, worship team. Well, it's that time of the year again. It's coming. Christmas season is upon us, and I hope that you're feeling ready. It's early yet. We're not ready yet, are we? Not quite. But we're getting excited. I am, anyways. It means lots of things. It means decorating. It means shopping and cooking and eating. One of my favorites. Wrapping and opening. It means long lines in every store, everywhere, forever. And sometimes it feels like endless frustration and annoyance as icy roads coupled with too much traffic, coupled with long lines everywhere, just kind of is not super fun all the time, right? It's not too bad out there right now, but it can be frustrating. But there's good times. There's family and friends and parties and celebration and music and decorations. Lights and candles and presents and all those wonderful things. And we enjoy time together, and hopefully somewhere in the middle of all of this hurry and rush and joy and celebration, we get a chance to really experience that joy. Really feel like we're actually celebrating. That we can, with all that's going on and all the places that you have to be and all the people that you have to connect with, somehow you can find a sense of rest. That we can be able to just really focus on and meditate and understand the reason for this season. For some of us, we look forward to this all year. Christmas is our favorite time of year. And as soon as Christmas carols start, we're excited, even if it's October. And the Christmas decorations go up, we're like, yes, Christmas is coming. For others of us, we're not as excited because, not that you don't love Jesus, but it gets wrapped up in so much stuff and commercialism and materialism and all these things that you kind of think Christmas carols should start around December 24th and the Christmas tree should go up then and maybe come down around December 26th, and that's kind of enough. But it can be a time filled with fun and family and food and laughter and joy. And it doesn't have to be a solemn remembrance of this incredible thing. It can be a party. Christmas is supposed to be fun because we are celebrating something incredible. The season is about Jesus, sure, but sometimes it feels like it's gotten sucked up in Santa baby and grandma got run over by a reindeer and buying stuff that we're never going to need. And it can be hard to see. It can get lost a little bit. I remember it was a couple of years ago, there was a commercial that came on the radio for a kitchen renovation. It was around the Christmas season. And the pitch in this commercial was that you wouldn't dare, it was to ladies a little bit more, unless the man was wearing a dress, I don't know. But you wouldn't dare wear the same dress that you wore to last year's Christmas party at your house. So why would you have the same kitchen cabinets that you had last year? And just that commercial crystallized, I think, so much of the problem we have with what happens around Christmas season. I think my kitchen cabinets are probably just fine. If the guests in my home are really judging me because of that, then maybe I've got the wrong people in my house. But it can get sucked up in the wrong things, and it gets a little out of hand. And again, the commercialism, the materialism that is pushed around this time, now it's about all about Boxing Day sales more than Christmas itself, and those start somehow in November, and they run through February. But it's a lot of money that gets spent around this time. It is, in Canada alone, billions and billions and billions of dollars. One thing I read, and I don't know where they get these numbers from and what they're including, but it was north of $30 billion that Canadians will spend on Christmas this year. And that's a lot. And on one side, we hear that number and we think of all the things that we could do with that money for good. But let's not forget that what we're doing with that money, some of it is, okay, buying stuff to impress people we don't like. And, you know, that's not necessarily the most efficient use of those funds. But we are buying stuff to celebrate. We are buying stuff to bless our friends and family, to show them that we care. Because in this season, we received the greatest gift of all. We received Jesus, right? So not all, when we hear these numbers that get thrown around, these huge billions of dollars, it's not all a waste. What we are doing is throwing the biggest birthday party ever, every year. And again, should we be careful? Should we be wise with our money? And maybe there is more we can do for directly to charitable things and stuff like this. Yes. Let's be wise with the resources that God has given us. But don't get sucked into feeling guilty about celebrating Christmas. Because it's a big deal. It's way too much money. And it shows all kinds of bad things. But at its root, at the foundation, there is something amazing going on. The reason for the season is Jesus. And it's been glazed over. It gets parodied and it gets buried. But no matter what is said, no matter what politically correct language is used around this season, the reason that all of this is going on is that on December 25th, we celebrate the fact that Jesus was born. We even have a national holiday to commemorate it. And I think that is awesome and really weird because of how politically correct our culture is trying to be. And again, they've changed the language a little bit. The reason we have a holiday right now is because Jesus was born. So celebrate, enjoy. Throw the biggest birthday bash you can. All 30-some billion dollars is going to say, Jesus, you are amazing, whether or not they know it. That's why we're celebrating this time. Whether we call it a winter festival or a super everybody, non-offensive holiday, generic, whatever. The fact is we have a holiday right now because of Jesus, because of one of the greatest things that has ever happened in the history of humanity. It took place. Okay, maybe not right exactly now. We all know that December 25th wasn't actually the day Jesus was born. That's when we celebrate it. History took place. God came here to us. That's what we're celebrating. That's what this is all about. That's what all this craziness is supposed to be focused on. That's why we decorate and sing and buy gifts and share time and memories and party together, because God came as a human baby. This is absolutely my favorite time of year. I love it. I think it's incredible. And it's not just because of all the fun things that happen, because of the chance to get together with friends and family and share gifts and food and laughter and all that stuff. It's mostly, by far, mostly, because I just cannot wrap my head around the fact that Jesus was born. I cannot understand what that really means. That the infinite, all-powerful, eternal, immortal, invisible, all-knowing, all-loving God who spoke creation into existence. It wasn't hard for him to create the universe. As hard as it is for us to understand it, we build gigantic 26-mile rings to smash tiny atoms together to try to unlock some semblance of understanding of what God didn't even sweat. He spoke the universe into existence with all of its laws and all of its structure and all of its beauty. He formed the universe and galaxies and solar systems and stars. He knows every thought I'll ever have, every hair on my head, every moment of every one of our lives is in his hands. This God was born as a baby to a teenage girl with a freaked out fiance in a cave in a little rural village. No hospital, no doctors, no home care nurse visit the next day. Wow. I love it. It's amazing. I love this time of year. Who was there? Who did God invite to this most incredible event?
No priests. No royalty. No politicians or celebrities. No parades. No fanfare. No media. Whatever that would have looked like at the time. Town crier, I guess. We worship a God that takes incredible risks, at least by our standards, from our perspective. And he constantly shatters and challenges our worldview. What we care about and what God cares about are often not the same thing. Our theme this year is Entrusted. And we've been looking at what it means to be living in and living out the gospel. What does it mean for the gospel to have an impact in our lives and our world? How do we define that? How do we understand that? How do we embrace that? We want to understand what it means to be transformed by the gospel so that we can more and more reflect who God is, that we can be Jesus to the world. And that's what I want to explore this Christmas season, this Advent. We want to look at the people that God chose to honor in this story. Because I think it tells us something incredible about who God is. And I think it challenges the way that we operate, the people that we care about, the things that we're drawn to. As we read this Advent story in the different Gospels and look at the people that God focused on, it is very different than the people that I think we would have focused on. Who is God drawing into this? If we understand it, if we can catch it, it can transform us as the people of God to really embrace his mission and his kingdom. So we're going to look at four groups that God honored, because there's four Sundays. How about that? We're going to look at the shepherds. We're going to look at Mary and Joseph. We're going to look at the wise men or magi. And we're going to look at one pair of people that I don't often hear talked about, Simeon and Anna, two prophets at the temple that were there when Jesus was dedicated. And these are individuals that get mentioned specifically in this story. They get special attention paid to them. There were other people that were doubtless around and involved. Bethlehem wasn't empty. Jerusalem wasn't empty. There were other people there that Mary and Joseph would have bumped into. Many dozens or hundreds or even thousands. Who knows? But God mentions these people specifically in this story. Why? Each of them tell us something very important about what God is all about and what we need to be all about. What it means for us to live in and to live out the gospel. And so this week we're going to start with, I was going to say everyone, my favorite characters anyways. Everyone loves the shepherds, right? So we're going to start with the shepherds. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 to 20. We're going to start just a hair before their story really comes into play here. But let's look at what the shepherds experienced. Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. A little understated in that sentence, I think, but it gets bigger later. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And here we go. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen. Now, we've heard this story many times before. My family, when I was growing up, as we would open presents, usually on Christmas Eve, we'd open kind of one or two, and we would usually start reading the Christmas story. And most of the time, it was this story in Luke chapter 2. And I'm sure many of you have a similar tradition. And we read this during Advent in church all the time. And so this story can become quite familiar to us. And it can become maybe even a little bit too familiar. And as I read, in those days, lots of you, your brain probably already had the rest of the sentence going, "Caesar Augustus issued a decree that..." Especially if you were part of a Christmas pageant as a kid or something like that. And you had to be the narrator. So this story, the words can become familiar to us. We read it every year. But I want you to really see what's happening here, because what happens is absolutely incredible. We read through these stories and they present things kind of matter of fact. Luke in particular, because he was intending to just collect the facts about who Jesus was for this guy Theophilus. And so he just kind of presents information. And I don't want us to miss what he's really talking about here. Again, our focus today is on the shepherds in particular. So our story really begins with verse 8. And in verse 8, what God is doing here is incredible. Verse 8, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks by night." Now shepherds, as you may have heard in every Christmas Advent sermon ever, shepherds were not well regarded in the world of ancient Israel, which is funny to me because King David, one of their like most venerated figures in Israel, in Jewish history, was a shepherd. So how the job of shepherd got such a low billing, I don't know. But shepherds were not viewed very well. In fact, many commentators say use the word despised within the Jewish community. They were outcasts. They were unclean. They were not particularly welcome in any of the towns, which is why they were kind of living out with the sheep. But they were not at all allowed to participate in any of the religious or spiritual ceremonies and traditions that the Jewish people had because they were unclean. These people were not welcome. These people were not holy. These people were not acceptable in that culture. Socially, physically, spiritually, they were outsiders. They were poor. They were basically homeless. And they were unwelcome. And here they are, on probably as average a night as you can imagine. And they're here watching over their flocks. It's dark. It's quiet. There's a few sheep maybe bleeding a little bit here and there. Maybe in the distance they can hear some of the sounds of Jerusalem. Some of them are sleeping. A couple of them are awake. They drew the short straw. They've got the night shift, and so they're huddled around a small fire, probably joking and telling stories to pass the time. And then, boom. An angel of the Lord rips open the sky and appears to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them and they were terrified. Angels are not fat little babies with wings. Angels are not soft and gentle. This is the army of the Lord. And every time they are depicted in Scripture, whenever they encounter a person, that person's response is terror. It never says frightened in the Bible. It almost always uses the word terrified. People are falling over themselves, overwhelmed in the presence of an angel. And here on this quiet, dark night, they are bored, they are cold, they are hungry, they are tired, and suddenly exploding in front of them is an angel, and the glory of the Lord shines around them. The ones who are awake are diving for cover, covering their faces. The ones who are sleeping are leaping up to their feet and are completely confused and overwhelmed. They have no idea what's going on. It's chaos and terror and glory and light. And the angel, I can only imagine what he looked like, says to them, "Do not be afraid." Yeah, right. "I bring you good news," after he settled them down. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you," he says. "You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then suddenly, as if that wasn't enough, a great company, it says, of the heavenly host, many hundreds or even thousands of these angels, fill the sky. And they cry out, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. On earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." The noise, the sound, the sight, can you even imagine? And then they're gone. And it's dark and quiet. And their little fire is flickering. And their hearts are pounding. And they look at one another. "Did that just happen? Did you see that? What was that? What on earth was that? We better go check it out, I guess." And so these shepherds get up and they leave their flocks and they run into Bethlehem. Now, God didn't give them a lot to go on here. Baby lying in cloths. That's it. So they probably had to go around the town. Maybe this is a rural area. Lots of people would have had animals and flocks and things. And so they would have maybe had to go barn to barn. Does anybody know of babies being born anywhere? Anyone, anyone? And eventually they come to this cave. And in the pictures, we always have depicted this holy glow around Jesus. And the whole cave is lit and warm. It was probably dark. It maybe wasn't that cold, because most scholars think it was probably summertime-ish, late summer, that Jesus was born. The shepherds are out in the fields, and so it can't be wintertime or something like that. But maybe Joseph has lit a small fire to try to keep Mary and the baby warm and so they could see a little bit. Maybe there's an oil lamp in there that the owner of the house borrowed them so they could see what they were doing. And here, in the darkness, they find this little family, this little baby, the Messiah, prophesied for thousands of years, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, here before them, wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. The Savior, who is Christ the Lord, God incarnate. These shepherds were the first people on earth to be invited to see the newborn Jesus. They were the only people in the story who were actually invited to the birth itself. The least, the lowest, the humblest. They weren't welcome in the temple or the synagogue. They weren't good enough as far as the religious authorities to come before God. They weren't welcome in the town, but they were welcome at the birth of the Messiah. God deemed them worthy. He honored them. Contrast that with a royal birth anywhere else. You think of what would have happened if a Caesar in Rome would have had a child. Or the birth of King Solomon. Think of David, King David, when a child of his would have been born. Who would have been invited? What kind of party would have been thrown? The entire city would be shut down for a week that a new heir is born. Or today, the attention given the royal baby George. The media, the crowds. Who is invited? Who is honored? Kings, politicians, celebrities, archbishops, holy men. The event is maximized in every way for exposure and profit. Pictures and stories and news footage. And every kind of trinket you can imagine to celebrate the birth of this baby. But Jesus, a handful of the lowest working class. God is amazing. What is he doing? This is a message that is consistent all through Scripture and through the life of Jesus. Over and over and over again, God bypasses the important people to touch the overlooked and the outcasts. The ones who aren't good enough. Those are the ones that God's right there with. What is Jesus' mission? Luke chapter 4, he lays it out for us right out of Scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he says, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The poor, the prisoners, the sick, the oppressed, the widows and the orphans. He bypasses the rich and the famous, the holy and the powerful. Jesus does to hang out with Zacchaeus, the hated and corrupt tax collector. He brings fishermen in to his closest circle, the men that walked with him for his entire ministry. Mary the prostitute, lepers, sinners, all the wrong people. Who do we care about? Who are we drawn to? Who do we try to impress? Who would we have invited to the birth of Jesus? Who would we have thought should be there? And it's not that any of those people that we would maybe have invited shouldn't be at the birth of Jesus, because it was for everybody. But would the shepherds have made our list? Do the shepherds make our list today of people that we focus on, people that we put attention toward, people that we spend time with? Who do we make time for in our lives? And who would God make time for? This Christmas season, keep your eyes open. Let God work in your heart. Let him show you who he cares about. Who in your life is he pointing you toward? Who are the outsiders? Who are the outcasts? It might not be the cool people. It might not be the most connected people. They wouldn't maybe be on a royal guest list. But God is doing something very different. Let's let him show us. Let's pray together. Father God, you are amazing. You are amazing. You do things so differently than I would. You care about things that are so different than I get caught up in. Father God, here at the birth of the Messiah, this incredible event that had been prophesied for thousands of years, that any of the priests, any of the Pharisees, any of the Sadducees, any of the royalty of the area would have killed to be there. And you invited the shepherds. You bypassed them all to invite the lowest and the humblest to this most incredible event. Father God, how often I overlook those people. People that I think are low. God, and how selfish and arrogant is that? Father, give me your eyes. Give me your heart. Help us to see people like you do. God, that we can honor people like you would. That we can show them your love like you want. Father God, we love you. We love your Son. Transform us into his image that we can build your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.